Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay. Imperial troops have entered.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Echo Base. This is episode number 140. We're recording this on April 9th, 2018. We have, I think finally, for the first time in a long time, our regular hosts all back together with us in Echo Base.
Who left pork crap on my chair?
Well, you know.
You know, if you don't sit in the chair, they're gonna nest.
It's not crap, it's Pez from what? Your pork. You should eat it. Just taste one of them.
You
just one of the little pellets.
You guys let Andrea come in here. She used my chair, and
they're
this
pork
is what happened.
Pellets.
You know, she was all ready to replace
Say
you permanently.
Yeah, yes, she was.
There was a Twitter campaign. You know what? I should probably check. There's probably a change.org.
There might be. And to make matters worse, the very next appearance she had in the show was on Random Chatter replacing you.
I know.
Yeah, so Tim, now that we're recording, we wanted to talk to you about something real quick, Tim. I don't really know how to. Lou, do you want to do? I don't know how to.
No, it's all you.
Brian, okay.
You're in charge of HR.
No, we'll get through the episode first. We'll deal with the HR stuff
after. Yeah, so it's going to be bad news after.
After we're done, because otherwise it'll spoil the show.
Like Friday afternoon as opposed to Monday morning. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. And we record on Mondays, so that's the hard part.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah. All right. What were we talking about?
Star Wars stuff, of course.
Before we actually get to Star Wars stuff, because I know we're kind of strapped for topics today, I wanted to point out that we talked about this a while back, and I don't think we really mentioned it afterwards, and we kind of meant to. We have a page at randomchatter.com/application. We are always just trying to keep an eye out in general for people who might want to join the network. We're not actively hunting for people for a specific show, and anybody who applies through that, we're not guaranteeing that we would have a spot for you. But if you think that you would want to be in consideration, if we ever have an opening, or even, you know, sometimes we need guests to fill in, stuff like that, if you want to head over to randomchatter.com/application, there's a little survey there to kind of give us an idea of your interests. And then we would just want you to record a real quick 5-minute recording just in an MP3 file and upload it, which you can do from that page, and nothing really heady or complex or anything, just to kind of give us an idea of, you know, what you sound like on the mic, and nothing really, you know, you don't have to do any fancy audio editing or anything like that. And so go ahead and do that. And we're going to kind of use that as a way to build a repository of people who we can use as guests or potential hosts in the future. So I just wanted to point that out. We set it up a couple months ago. We mentioned it once, and I think we kind of forgot about it. So
yeah, it's tough to keep those kind of things a secret. They don't really
attract people. That's
as
the funny
well.
Thing. Yeah. Oh well.
Well, I don't think we have any other announcements. We've had so many new shows premiere lately. I'm not sure if we have anything else that we haven't talked about in the past.
I don't know. I'm still underwater trying to get two of our new three upcoming superhero-related shows.
Yeah, so we'll just let that go for now. Yeah. And we'll get right into stuff. Now, Tim, I really have to apologize. This first news story that we have here, I had it in the What Were They Thinking weekly section of Random Chatter last night. To save you from having to talk about it, because I know how much you love petitions, almost as much as you love, you know, pork stuff on your seat. And Eric put it in the show notes here, so we got to talk about it again.
But it's okay. Okay. This one is okay because it's not at change.org. See?
No.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
with
it's
petitions.
Some other place. But still, it's still a petition that...
But petitions are okay. It's just don't use change.org as a way to like redefine your, I didn't like the Star Wars movie, so I'm going to petition and you need to go back and make these changes. And we're going to put it up on a site that's supposed to be for like changing the world and everything. And this is the important issue going on in the world today.
Changing the world doesn't mean it's any better.
Well, I mean, this
still,
is
it's still a worthless, but I don't know. I mean,
it is a way to communicate the desires of the fandom to Lucasfilm in a very organized, concise fashion that I didn't read the entire petition, but hopefully is very respectful and not idiotic like some of the other petitions that we've had.
Wow, you are really defending this hard. Okay.
I'm not saying the idea is idea or not. I'm just saying little I read of it, it's at least done in a very civil way. It was. And respectful.
Okay, so the petition we're talking about is a petition that was started on...
Tim looks
the site? I know people saw it last night, but what was the site?
So the site itself is actually thepetitionsite.com. The company's name is Care2 Petitions. So when you look at through the website Care2's basically their mission statement, their promise here, it's the world's largest community for good. Okay. Like-minded people working towards progress, kindness, and lasting impact.
So it's another version of Change the World,
A movie is a very lasting impact. I mean, that it's lasting.
They stand with humanitarians, animal lovers, feminists, rabble-rousers, nature buffs, creatives, and the naturally curious, and people who really love to do the right thing.
That fits.
So in other words, this doesn't have a damn thing to do with pop culture and movies and who you want to see casted.
Yes, it does. Rabble-rousers and creatives.
Yeah, that's part of it.
And these are definitely rabble-rousers. So come on. It meets two categories.
This is crap.
I know people can't see the video, and I know that I'm the one that gets on the other hosts about referencing video while we're doing audio podcasts, but Tim just looks so constipated while we're talking about this topic right now. It's like he just...
Well, we should probably let people know what petition we're talking about before we go too much further down this rat hole.
Yeah,
So the petition is to have Meryl Streep replace Carrie Fisher as Leia for episode 9.
Okay.
And I first read this, I'm like... Well, yeah, okay. I mean, we don't need to. It's not like she was in the movie. I mean, they're writing around that. I mean, we don't have to put somebody else in there to do it. And normally, I am the kind of guy who doesn't care if they replace an actor in a movie because it wasn't available or whatever. I mean, I can let that go. Mm-hmm. But we don't need to have this done, I don't think.
Well, but so I'm going to play counterpoint on this one. She was meant to have been a major character in episode 9.
Right.
We had Han in 7, Luke in 8. Leia was supposed to be like the big classic character in episode 9. So, yes, we have been talking about ways that we can move forward without the character of Princess Leia since tragically Carrie Fisher's passed on. But if there is a way to do it where we can still get this story as it was intended, and it's done well. And that, of course, that really is what it boils down to. Is this the right way to do it? And would it be done well? And I think a lot of people right off the bat are saying, no, this is not the right way to go. And that's fair. But
well, actually, let me back up a second.
I think that if it could be done, we need to at least ask, is it the right way to do it? So I want to know from you guys, would this work?
Would it work? Sure. I mean, I don't have a problem with them replacing an actor in a role.
Okay.
You might have to, you know, okay, I'm understanding it's not Carrie Fisher and I'm going to let that be. But my point before that was, do we really know that episode 9 was centered on Leia? I mean, we've heard there was no roadmap for this movie. There was no plan after episode 7 or episode 8 to have what 9 was going to be.
Okay. So if you look at the statement about the no roadmap thing though,
yeah,
it was that Rian Johnson was given no particular story milestones that he had to hit for episode 8. It's not that there was not an overall idea. It was that he was not given anything that he had to accomplish within episode 8. And then separate from that, I wish I'd looked it up so that I actually had a source for it. And maybe that's something that would be worth investigating. And I'm sure our listeners will email us at echobase@randomchatter.com and tell us what the source is, if there is one. But I think it was specifically stated that Leia was to have been the primary classic character in episode 9. Like she was going to have been a major driving force of the overall plot. Now, obviously, it's going to be about Rey and Finn and Poe.
Yeah.
But
so the creatives at Will here have the choice of either changing the story entirely or finding a way to write around, you know, Carrie Fisher not being alive anymore, or replacing Carrie Fisher with another actor.
Right.
Any one of those three would work for me, but it should be the decision of the studio and the powers that be who.
No, kinda, no, it's a decision of us.
No, it's not.
You and me and Tim. Yes. Are you not paying attention?
I'm not getting into that because they're
we are powerhouses within the Star Wars fan community, and we can decide. We can figure this out. We can do it. You got to think positive, Lou. Come on.
Okay, then we're just going to replace the Princess Leia character with Laura Dern's character and have her just kind of be the driving force behind episode 9.
Well, she is force sensitive, so she could come back as a force
ghost.
She
might, yeah. She'll, you know.
So there you go.
See, but the character's dead on screen, but the actor's not dead, so there you go.
Right, right. So seriously, though, one of the main reasons that you don't want to recast is, or in general, people have not wanted Leia to be recast, is number one, out of respect for Carrie Fisher. And, right. And I can understand that, but that's an emotional argument, not a creative argument, and certainly not a business argument. Not that all decisions should be made out of business concerns, but even creatively, it's not a creative argument. It's an emotional argument. And I feel that, but setting that aside for the sake of argument, number two is, would it be too much of a distraction for the audience? And number three, and kind of tied to that, is who could you find as an actress to actually pull it off? I think that Meryl Streep could be a good choice, could pull it off. And now she didn't play Carrie Fisher in Postcards from the Edge, but Postcards from the Edge was a movie based on a semi-autobiographical book by Carrie Fisher. So it was kind of supposed to be a parody of Carrie Fisher's life and experiences. I could kind of see Meryl Streep pulling off a Princess Leia. I'd rather have that than her digitally altered, or anybody else digitally altered, to look like Carrie Fisher. I think that's more distracting to me than recasting. And I think Carrie Fisher, I don't presume to speak for her. My opinion would be that she would A, want the story to go ahead and continue, and B, she would probably be okay with Meryl Streep playing that role if they were going to recast. If.
Tim, you've been very quiet.
Tim thinks I'm off my rocker. That's why.
You know, I'm not a big fan of Kylo Ren. But
that sums it up right there.
But in the words of Kylo Ren, we have to let the past die, kill it if we have to. I think people need to let go of this. And you know what? The best laid plans of mice and men, particularly over a period of time, if we're going to have certain plans and certain story arcs for characters and for people and such, and those things change, and it's real unfortunate. I you know, Carrie Fisher was Leia, and she did an amazing job. I mean, she truly embodied that character through and through. And it was incredible to see her play an older Leia as well, because I think we got hints of the Leia that we knew from the original trilogy, as well as a little bit of Carrie Fisher bleeding through there. And, you know, Carrie Fisher certainly through the last couple of decades established herself within her own persona. Mm-hmm. And I think that was real important. I don't think that I understand that in The Force Awakens, Han got his shot. In The Last Jedi, Luke got his shot.
Han got stabbed.
But yes, it would have been nice to see Leia get more of a moment in the spotlight in episode 9, but things have changed and it's unfortunate. And I don't think that we're going to, I think also the focus really needs to be on Rey.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, Rey is kind of the future of this franchise and the direction that it's going in.
Definitely.
And you know, whether or not we see Rey in an episode 10 or not, I think is almost irrelevant, but it's her story arc that is taking us forward and that is moving the story forward. It's not the characters from the past that are motivating this story. It is the new characters. And I think that we've had almost to an extent some measure of distraction of having such a focus on Han and such a focus on Luke. I mean, I'm glad that they did give us some elements of those characters, and I'm glad that we got kind of some closure with those characters. But they were also very distracting, even though The Last Jedi was a 2.5 hour long movie. There was a lot of Luke with little elements of Rey, but not so much Rey. We need to see more of that if this trilogy is really going to end up being something different. That's my thought.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I agree with a lot of that, especially the stuff about Rey. It definitely needs to be this new generation of characters. I think we've all been in agreement about the passing of the torch. And the way they've handled things so far, it definitely needs to continue to be about Rey. And I agree with the distraction issue with Han. And I say that objectively because emotionally, Han Solo is my favorite of the three characters. So I was most happy to see him in it. But yeah, he wasn't really necessary to the story. Luke, I think, was. At some point, we needed to have Luke and Rey on Octo during this trilogy or wherever they were going to end up having them. But like that torch, almost literally that lightsaber needed to be passed on. So, but the Han, I'll concede that was a distraction. Here's my concern about episode 9. And this is why I think it goes beyond just a character and whether they appear and how to write her out of the movie and et cetera. The problem is we need a face of the resistance. And right now, from an objective storytelling point of view, it's tragic with Carrie's passing that we couldn't have had Princess Leia's character do the sacrifice that Holdo's character did, because then we could have Laura Dern continue on as the head of the resistance in episode 9. Because now what we're left with is Poe. Mm-hmm. And Tim, I think you of all people would agree that Poe should not be leading the resistance at this point.
And for as much as it kills me, that's really what we saw at the end of The Last Jedi when they were escaping from the base there.
One good tactical move does not turn you into the leader of an entire organization, though. I mean,
yeah, but that was
Princess. And Poe basically, and where Poe said, "Hey, we should follow those foxes." And everyone turned and looked at Leia, and she said, "Don't look at me. He's in charge."
Right. I mean, well, she handed over the reins to him right there.
She
was under duress because she just saw her brother for the last time. That doesn't count.
I know that wasn't her, you know, basically saying, "Hey, here's the keys.
That was her retirement. Here's my paperwork."
But still, that one moment, even though it was one thing, I think to me was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very symbolic. Of Leia saying, you know what, I'm here, but I'm not running this anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think it was just for that moment, though. Again, I think that she was always meant to have come back and continued through episode 9 with leading the resistance and probably through. See, I think where they're going with Poe's overall story arc is to position him to be that, the new Admiral Akbar, if not a very young one, at the end of episode 9.
Right. But I think they did that really well, though. They set that up to be him. And, you know, they tore him down earlier in the episode for doing things the wrong way. And I think that this was him getting back on his...
They never actually showed that he learned anything. I get it, but they didn't actually repair the problem. They didn't show that he learned anything from it to justify him getting to that point storytelling. But, I agree with you, though.
But that's where we're going.
We have the slap heard around the galaxy, and he didn't change his behavior after that. He was still a jerk.
but he was.
But let's get back into Leia for a second, though. And I think Eric had hit it right in the head a second ago, maybe not in so many words, but he hinted towards it that... You know, the story is about the new characters going forward. And, you know, in the first episode, we had Han being kind of prevalent because it's his son and this and that, and he wanted out. And it was the death we been kind of waiting for with Han since he wanted to be out in the second episode. Yeah. So, you know, we had that. And that was a big distraction because that was a big prominent character. In the second episode, we had Luke doing... You know, doing Luke, he was passing the torch on to Rey. He had to be there. He was part of that. Yeah, part of that transition between old and new. Without Leia, I mean, I don't want to sound crass by saying this, but she doesn't have that same stature to be there, necessary to be there for these two roles, for those first two movies. We can have, you know, Rey and Poe and Finn kind of take the story along and write out the parts that would have been prominent for Leia there, because there's nothing that I can see that she really had to do. Like, you had to have Luke passing that torch. You had to have, you know, Han confronting his son. What milestone am I missing that Leia has to be there for?
I can answer that. They have, if you look back to the original trilogy, we didn't have the entire Rebel fleet for episode 4. We had a small portion of it at the end of episode 4, but, you know, it wasn't until episode 6, the big battle over Endor, where they brought in the capital ships and Admiral Ackbar was there, and they brought in, I mean, that was the first time we saw B-wings and A-wings. Like, that was the military battle, okay?
Right.
We didn't see anything really military-wise in episode 7 other than, again, a light skirmish over a Death Star, Starkiller base. In episode 8, we didn't really see a military. The implication is that episode 9 is the resistance against the First Order, and that Rey will then, as a Jedi, somehow come in to a way to influence that. But there are people around Rey that this... So the resistance is going to be there, and now it's like the head's been cut off.
There's no resistance left. There's no military to have a big battle with.
So it's going to be Rey. It's going to be Rey with the lightsaber, and that's like the whole movie.
Well, no, but I'm saying, you know, they put the call out to their friends, and their friends, you know, got the message, but nobody came.
Oh my gosh! Let me like grab a coat and start my car running and stuff. I mean, I got to drive. How far away is Creighton?
Come on,
Creighton is like at least 8 hours away from me.
If they pull out some huge armada in this last movie that says, "Hey, we're here. We're gonna take the fight to the First Order."
That's what I want to see in the end, like the post credit scene really for episode 9, is a bunch of ships show up and say, "What? Where is everybody? Did we miss it?" But yeah, I mean, come on, though. I guess what I'm getting at is we haven't gotten a lot of context for a lot of things going on in the galaxy. And the only context we have for the good guys is kind of the resistance and what is or isn't going on with it. We know there are other cells and that Leia is kind of the leader of all of them. So what's going to happen, I predict, in episode 9 is we're going to see some of those other cells show up. We're going to have a different person in charge. And it's going to be like, who the heck is this guy? Or who the heck is this girl? Like, we're not going to really get any of that. And I guess the counterpoint to that is we didn't really know who Admiral Ackbar was in Return of the Jedi either. So, okay.
I mean, I hope they just have a satisfying way of telling the story or opening the story up as to what happened to Leia.
No matter what they do, it's going to be a distraction because we know whatever they do to Princess Leia, it's going to be because of Carrie's passing. So
I
hope that whatever they do, it's short and sweet. And I don't mean that, you know, flippantly. I mean, I hope it's meaningful, but concise, because I think Carrie would my interpretation of Carrie as a person, she would not want this situation with her passing to get in the way of the story. She would want the show to go on, so to speak. Like, she would be like, hey, people, we all die. This was my time. Go on with it. Like, she just had that kind of attitude about things. So I think that she would want the story to not be impacted adversely because of her death. And I think however they end up doing it, they're going to fail in the eyes of 50% of the fans and 97% of the internet, because there's just,
yeah, you're not going to make everybody happy. Yeah, the fandom doesn't get what they did, and
right,
everybody has their own take on it, and no one's going to be happy.
Right. So, you know, they're fighting a losing battle no matter what they do. But, okay, yes. So Meryl Streep, listen, if they do recast, I think Meryl Streep would be a good choice. I'm not saying they should recast. I'm just, I guess my point is I understand. I'm not against it. I don't know that it's best, but I'm not against it.
Right, but that's a decision that Disney and the powers of E have to make, not a petition.
But well, anyway. No, it's us. I mean, they have to make it. They can call us and consult with us, but I mean, technically, maybe
we are not a petition, but, you know, yeah.
Well, I'm only available for the record for consulting on the Thrawn trilogy.
I read
that's,
the petition.
That's all I'm available for. I don't have the time for this other superfluous crap.
Thank you, Tim. Right now, audible.com has some kind of crazy sale going on, especially if you're a member. And I think that the pre-order for...
Really?
The Thrawn Alliance was crazy cheap.
Oh, really?
So as opposed Thrawn, to using a I'm credit for it, right now. Buy it in general? Yeah, I'm going under too.
Oh, it doesn't show because it's in my pre-orders already. I think it was like $10 or something.
$8.57. That's cheaper than a credit.
Yes. So, and I think... all of the Star Wars books qualify for it. So the Solo movie related books that are coming up, mm-hmm. I think those are also on sale. Okay. So Last Shot is on sale for, it's normally $31.50. It's on sale for $15.43, which is about the price of one credit. So, you know, if you're a subscriber, that might not be the best deal, but, Most Wanted is on sale for half off. It's normally $35 at $17. But the Thrawn Alliances book, I mean, that's a steal. Go pre-order it right now. And I wouldn't use a credit because your credit per credit cost is like, what, $14.95 or something? Yeah, use your credit for something else. It would be more expensive. And just put this on your credit card or something. So,
nice.
So, Tim, thank you for mentioning Thrawn. I forgot all about that.
You can always count on me to mention my blue buddy.
I figured.
Good tip. Let's see. So let's get right into our next, which should be a pretty juicy discussion.
Did we have anything?
We have quite a bit of discussion over this, maybe some different thoughts. So last night, a little trailer dropped. I think during American Idol, not that I saw it during American Idol, but that's when it was aired on ABC Network, for Solo, a Star Wars story. Did you guys happen to catch it? Maybe.
You know, it's funny. It was on American Idol and I was recording that, but then also like The Simpsons and Family Guy and other stuff was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I was watching those. And then like, as I'd get through an episode, I'd hop over to the recording and see how far into American Idol I would get. And then once I got live through the fast forward, I'd hop back into another show. And I guess I stopped watching it a minute and a half before the trailer aired. So it wasn't until somebody in Discord said, yeah, it's been posted for like 5 minutes now, guys.
You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see it until we were almost done recording, our show last night. So we're actually before, I should say, but, yeah. So the trailer came out and I've been on record saying I'm not a fan of this movie, or I shouldn't say I'm not looking forward to this. This wasn't the movie I wanted, but I am more excited about this movie now after seeing this trailer than I was before. I still don't think we need the Solo movie, and I've got some issues about that, but they're doing a good job of selling this story. And part of me says that because I'm not caring about spoilers. I want to know everything I can find out. I will search things. I'm not, if they give away a big thing somewhere, I'm not going to go, oh, I'm not going to see it now. I want to know these things. And they gave away everything in this trailer. There is nothing left to the imagination. I'd be surprised what else can they give us?
But I'll give my thoughts in a minute. You should continue.
No. So that's kind of where I was going to leave it for you guys to kind of chime in now, because I thought the trailer was exciting. It did what a trailer should do. It should boost my enthusiasm for the movie. The visuals looked awesome. It does give you a sense of what the story is about, if not giving you the whole story in minute and a half format or 2 minute format. So that's my initial take on it. Eric?
I share your.
It's never good when Eric starts with that big sigh. You know that thing? Just.
I have been accused of having some pretty monstrous sighs before. I share your sentiment, Lou, in the sense that I've always been concerned about whether we needed this movie in the first place. As we started to see things through the other teasers, I got more excited, not so much for the Han Solo character, of whom he is one of my all-time favorite fictional characters, okay? But more so, Donald Glover as Lando. I'm really curious about Kira. Some of the settings and the environments and things like that have been interesting. When I saw the trailer, the full trailer. So this is kind of supposed to be giving you an idea of what's going to be going on with the story. I feel like this is all stuff we already knew. If this is it, it's a train heist. I hope that this is the opposite of what you just said, Lou. I hope that this is not basically the overall story, the train heist and then the Kessel run. Because obviously there's some sort of space pursuit scene, which mm-hmm. we can all assume is probably the Kessel run. And that seems to be it. So it looks like Act 1 is more historical stuff. Act 2 is the setup for the train job with the Conveyex, I guess is what they're calling the train. And then the third act is probably them trying to escape with whatever was on it and the Kessel run and all that. I don't know. I'm going back to becoming worried again.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're giving a lot of stuff away in this. And I don't see how there can be anything left to the imagination, Eric. So I think you're right in that respect. Maybe you're worried about that, but I'm already past the point of worrying about this from a story standpoint. Okay, I'm just going for the visual ride. It looks amazing as far as the visual ride goes. So I'm on board with that.
The visuals look good. And I guess for me, what I'm planning to look forward to now in trying to temper my expectations, I'm looking forward to character development. I want to see what they do with Chewie, with Lando, and with Kira. And then hopefully they will also maybe do something interesting with Han, but I no longer have an expectation of Han doing anything great. And I will admit, maybe our expectations will be exceeded. Maybe Alden Ehrenreich does a great job. Maybe Ron Howard really pulled a good performance out of him. I don't know. I would be very happy to be wrong. But right now, I think Kira, Lando, and Chewie, that's what I want to see.
What were your initial thoughts?
Well, my impressions, first of all, I think that this trailer wonderfully complements the teaser. It seems like it's an expansion of a lot of the scenes from that we saw from the teaser. So I think it's fantastic. I love that we hear a lot from Ehrenreich in this. And I gotta say, I didn't even have to consciously think, oh yeah, that guy's supposed to be Han Solo. Popped right in my head, that's Han.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that he has this uncanny resemblance, because it's close, but it's not like that close. But just putting myself in the mindset of this movie, it's right there for me. I have absolutely no issues bridging that gap with him being Han. Not a problem to me at all. I agree that I with you guys, I am really looking forward to some of the continued world building and character building that we're going to see out of this. I'm really interested in the backstory of the rat that we see 4 seconds into this clip running across the wire.
The rat. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
sure. If you go to four seconds into the clip, there's a rat on the wire. I'm very interested in what the backstory is of that rat. I thought it was good. I thought it was really great. Lou, like you, I was never like overly thrilled about this movie, but I'm happy to accept this movie with that additional character building and world building to just continue to expand the Star Wars universe.
Okay. Well, for me, the big bugaboo about this, and the only kind of negative thing I have about this is, I said a few minutes ago, they kind of gave away the entire movie and story here.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there could be something that they're not giving us, but for the most part, you know, we see how he becomes a smuggler, right? I mean, we see how he gets into that life of crime.
Yeah.
We see how he gets his blaster, right? I mean, okay. You didn't need to give me that in the trailer, but you gave it to me.
No, and it could be that he, you know, he handed his blaster off to Woody Harrelson's character and then he gave it back to him, or it was taken from him and they gave it back to him. We don't know that.
It looks like it was just given to him, like, this is going to be your blaster for this mission.
Yeah, it does.
At least that's how I took it. I could be wrong. It does. That's what I took it.
I think you're right.
And the other big thing that I think they gave away, they shouldn't have given away in the trailer, was the whole, I have a really good feeling about this.
This
movie's take on, I have a bad feeling about this.
Which I am so tired of everybody having bad feelings all the time.
And I think this is a great way to do it, but you didn't need to give it to me in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have done without that for now, right?
Listen, the problem with putting comedy in the trailers is that too often, those are the only funny bits. My understanding from what I've been reading from people speaking behind the scenes from the set is that there's a good amount of comedy in the movie. So I don't know that this is really going to be that sort of thing where we're seeing all the funny parts in the trailer. And a lot of times when trailers fail in that regard, it's because movie studios bring in other companies as part of their marketing push. And those other companies come up with what they're doing for the trailers. I think Lucasfilm, because everything's done more in-house, probably has a little bit more control over what they decide to put in the trailers. I'm a little less concerned with Star Wars movies putting all the good parts in the trailers. I think that because of the way the company's structured and the handling of their own marketing, I'm less worried about that. I think we might be okay in that front.
Okay. I'm not worried about them giving away all the good parts per se. I'm just saying they gave away bits and pieces that I think would have been great reveals for fans in the movie. And I hope there's more of them. Maybe there's a lot more better stuff in the movie that they didn't give away that will be like, oh man, it's awesome. We got to see that part, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like just those two little things right now are making me think, do they have other stuff up their sleeve they can give us? I don't know.
I agree with you. It's not, I don't think it's necessarily the double lightsaber, double bladed lightsaber moment.
No,
but
it's not
really
that bad.
It's gotten it kind of close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, I mean, you want to guys go through this kind of scene by scene through this trailer or?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, you know, Tim mentioned the rat. It's a pretty impressive little rat on that wire. He's got a good balancing act going on there. But what's better?
I want to know the name of the rat.
And I think Tim missed it. Behind the rat was a Star Destroyer.
What's behind the rat?
Looks like in under construction in orbit, I guess.
Oh, wait!
Looks pretty cool.
A baby rat behind that rat?
No, it's his tail.
Oh.
Yeah, it's his tail with like some kind of fluff on the end.
Evolutionarily speaking, I don't see a rat with it. big bushy tail like that surviving very
I'm
long
totally writing some fanfic about that rat.
Oh, that God. I believe. The rat and Thrawn.
I've totally lost control.
It's a threat. Yeah. Thrawn rat.
Wait. This is Disney, right? It's Ratatouille. Wasn't that a Disney movie?
There you go.
He rides around in Thrawn's hat.
How many listeners do you think are ticked off at me right now for focusing solely on this rat?
A lot of them, Tim.
As many as are pissed off about us tying it back to Thrawn.
True. But yeah, the Star Destroyer I thought was pretty cool looking visual there.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we get some stuff like we've seen before. He appears at the gated door there. We've seen these guys out in the sand again. They're ready to, play, I guess. They're going to do hopscotch or something out in the sand. I don't know. But that looks pretty good.
So the bad guys there, do we want to talk about that a little bit?
Do we know anything about them?
Yeah. So the leader of that group, her name is Enfys Nest. E-N-F-Y-S. And
that wasn't Mad Max Express?
Empty Nest?
Kind of, except not.
Okay.
Listen, I love Star Wars with all my heart, but the naming, I mean, even going back to Han Solo and Chewbacca and stuff like that, I mean, we're used to it now because it's been four decades, but I mean, come on. So
not as bad as, Sleazebagging over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Enfys Nest, this is, she apparently runs this gang. She is one of the two bad guys that we're aware of right now. I don't think she is the lead antagonist of the film, but she is an antagonist.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. And cool armor. So,
yeah. No, you better look at her helmet and so forth. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, very Road Warrior-ish.
And I'm assuming maybe that's a vibro axe.
Looks like one.
Could be. Yep. With a little handguard there, OSHA approved handguard on top. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You got it. That's it's OSHA compliant.
Yep. So then we transition to Lando raking in a pot at a Sabacc game, evidently. So we see him in his element, which is awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing Donald Glover be doing the whole gambling thing and the whole laid back and kind of casual and having a good time atmosphere. That looks pretty fun.
There's some interesting looking aliens here. So we have the six eyed version of what's the name of the alien we saw on Tatooine?
An Aqualish, a Quarren? Quarren, Godel?
Reese?
Yeah, isn't he a Godel?
No.
I know who you're talking about. Let me.
Yeah.
Gran. I'm sorry.
Yep. And then some dude like behind him. I'm looking at like 18 seconds here. Who's in like a very clunky space suit. His face kind of looks like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
I think he is a teen. I think it's Donatello.
Could be. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then behind him, some like two-headed like space shrimp.
Right, but what's that thing behind the guy with the helmet with the one eye?
That's what's really his name big. From Monsters Inc.
Oh, that's Mikey.
Yeah,
that's Mikey. That was Grimace from the old McDonald's stuff. Just old.
Grimace had two eyes though.
Well, the eyes on the other side of his head. He's looking to the right. You're seeing the right side of his face.
Okay.
See.
Okay. Yeah. There's some inches. There's like a weird mosquito. So now if you look to the other side of Lando, there's like a mosquito looking thing. We had mosquito looking things, in Maz's bar too, didn't we?
I'll be honest. I was so frustrated about the fact that of all of those aliens, only one race is something that we've seen before. And then even then it was so briefly that I just kind of like, I don't even care.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like I liked The Force Awakens a lot. I'm one of the bigger defenders of episode 7, but I really feel like we could have seen a mix of some, 10% aliens we knew and 90% new or something. And instead we got like nothing we were familiar with.
Yeah, we should have seen some something we can put some context to, right?
But I think that I do remember being a little creeped out by some kind of a mosquito-like alien in there, and I hate mosquitoes, so I think there might be three of them.
There were three of them, and I think the lore is that they're sisters.
Yeah, they suck.
Okay, so back to the trailer. Fucking bring this back around. No rats anymore.
Six-eyed alien you're referring to, we covered, I think, last week and when you were out. That's one of the things in the Denny's cards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has a name. Of course, apparently they just refer to him as Six Eyes because that's
a great name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think they call him that?
Because he has three eyes.
Yeah. Because they used to call him Seven Eyes, and one of them got chopped off, and then it was like, well, that doesn't fit anymore. So now, you know, it was a whole thing.
Mm. Yeah, I can imagine.
So now, I don't know if this next part is in chronological order in the movie, but, you know, you have Han and Lando presumably meeting at this table, and then you see the very next scene is, it looks like Han pushing all in to a pot, because you can see it's his jacket. He's going all in. And next thing you see is him and Chewie checking out their new ride.
The gambling scene, I think, takes place after the dialogue between Kira and Han later in the film anyway.
Okay.
I mean, we know that Lando owns the Falcon at this point. She says she has a line on ship. I assume that this is where they meet and they gamble and he tries to... Like I don't know that they necessarily know this that each other at this point, because then while they're gambling, there's also the line from Han about, you know, I don't know if what I've heard about you is true. And
I think this is
later than some of the other things we get in the trailer.
It could be, but in the trailer they cut it right after he pushes in for that big pot. Now he's checking out. And this looks like they're checking out the ship that they now are owning, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
at least it looks that way.
Yeah.
We get the logo for Lucasfilm. Then we have Han and Kira making a little nicey talk.
The future Mrs. X Qui-Gon Tim.
Keep dreaming.
Oh, boy.
I called dibs 4 episodes ago. I don't know what your problem is.
Which, by the way, is also something
women love is when you call dibs on them.
I love that.
Yeah, I can imagine that works really well.
Yeah.
Now we get who's this guy with the scars in his face?
I was an extra that week. It was kind of a bad week for me, so I just kind of said, no, we're not going to do any makeup or anything. Just show up.
That's Paul Bettany, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, he is apparently the other antagonist of the film.
Oh, I know what happened.
His name
is... The rat got to him.
Could be.
The rat was gnawing on his face.
That dirty rat.
This is the whole story of the rat. Okay, cool.
Dryden Voss.
This is about the rat. Yep. Dryden Voss is the character's name. Okay.
Yep.
We get more of Han driving a speeder.
Where are you? How far ahead did you? What time code are you
40
on?
Seconds.
40 seconds. Okay, yeah, I'm back in the desert stuff on the... Okay. By the way, just Paul Bettany, where else do we know him from?
The Vision, man.
Yeah.
And the voice of Jarvis.
Yeah, from Iron Man and Avengers.
Yes.
This is important stuff. And by the way, he was not originally going to be in that role. I forget the person who was, but he was not available. The original person cast in that role was not available for the reshoots that happened when Ron Howard came in. So they had to recast that role entirely. And that's why Paul Bettany is in that role. He was not originally cast for it.
Hmm.
And there's footage of the other guys.
I was busy. So. I had something going on that week.
Yeah. So someday we might actually see footage of a different Dryden Voss.
I don't think we're ever going to see that footage meet the light of day.
Yeah, it could happen.
I'm pretty down with the
speeder chases here.
I like the kind of
gritty urban environment. I like the design of these things. I think this is pretty cool.
They're a little boxy, but otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna see a good chase scene.
Yeah. And I mean, they go fast, and he's got to prove his skills behind the wheel or the stick. So it's, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's flying a ship or flying a speeder through the streets, he's got to show his worth.
Mm-hmm. And if you think of all of the shots from the TV spot, the teaser and the trailer put together and just kind of piece out all of the chase scenes from that, I think that we're probably in for a real treat. I think it's going to be one of the bigger highlights action wise of the film, I think.
Yeah.
See, as we progress along, I'm at time code 38 now. He's not arguing with a Imperial officer, but at least telling him, hey, what I can do. He's trying to get his foot in the door there, showing how good he is. We see some scenes of just, you know, mashing the pedal down on the speeder's accelerator and kind of making things go. I like the way it spins around. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I wish my car did that.
Yeah, spinning's always a neat trick.
then we get like a couple seconds.
Lou didn't get the joke. It's Lou, you didn't get the joke?
What?
Oh.
What did I miss?
Oh, I feel so. Tim, tell him what he missed.
Tim, what did I miss?
Spinning, Lou. It's a neat trick.
Spinning's a neat trick. Anakin, Phantom Menace. And then Kylo Ren does it in episode 8.
You can teach Lou to fish, but you can't have him get a joke.
Nope.
Sorry. I wasn't in Phantom Menace mode.
Doesn't help that it wasn't a good joke. But go on.
So now we have a scene that's part of the train heist, I imagine. Better visual scene than we saw in that first trailer we had with them hauling one of the cars away from the explosion. Mm-hmm. Different angle, a little more close up, so that's kind of cool. Just one car, though, I guess, right? Not the whole train? No. I guess if you're good, you take more than one car. But
if you're good, you only need one car.
Oh, there you go. So then we get the scene I was talking about where he gives him his blaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what he's... Is he kissing it before he gives it to him? Is he sniffing it? I'm not sure what that is.
He's making out with it first, and then he's like, yeah, I don't know.
He gives it a little bit of tongue.
Yep.
It's in the shadows, which you really can't see. It's still PG-13.
And then Han's like, ew, I don't think I want this now. Thanks.
Yeah,
and I think the rat's in the background there.
The rat's not in the background.
You don't know.
Nothing the rat. Then we have a little banter between Han and Chewie, a little joke. I think it works pretty well. This some of the, if the comedy is all like this, I think it's going to work really well in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chewie voices displeasure and he's like, yeah, what do you know?
I think that's typical. So I guess some of the lines that we've seen so far between the, I've got a good feeling about this, and the line from, was it the Super Bowl spot or I think it was the teaser where he's like, yeah, I got this. Not a problem. I thought we had a problem there for a minute, but it's all good. And they fly into feel very Han Solo-y to me, but then lines like this do. I'm wondering if one of the themes of this movie is that maybe we see Han becoming cynical. Like he's adventurous and go get him now. Yeah. And this is kind of him turning into what we see later.
Well, yeah. I mean, they can't have him be what he is later in this movie because he's not there yet. He's got to grow into that.
They could if they wrote it badly, which is something we were all worried about. But
yeah,
I think that's why some people have complained that some of these lines don't fit. And I think that's why. I think they don't fit where Han ends up. We just need to keep in mind that he's not there yet. So they fit with the Han we haven't seen before.
Right. I think it makes perfect sense. Let's see. Time code 52. What is this place they're walking towards?
That looks awesome.
It does.
So that's obviously in the mountain area where the train is.
Yeah. It's kind of a dilapidated looking mm-hmm. building where there's ice on it and windows are blown out, or maybe there's no windows, just a cage it was supposed to be. But
and if you look off on the left, there are some other buildings and stepways mm-hmm. and stuff like mountain too. So it looks like it's probably some sort of a village or some sort of a community there. So it's a good question.
Those tusks that they're walking underneath the archway look pretty impressive. I hope we get to see what owned those before. Well,
that's what the rats grow up into. The baby rat that Tim saw.
They're rat tusks. That would be
awesome.
Scary rat. Let's see here as we go along. We've got a scene in a bar here real quick. They're moving through. Nice shot of Lando. More of that poker scene.
There's Mikey.
Some good line delivery by Donald Glover.
Yeah, he's going to kill that role.
I love the drink dispenser that he has.
Is this thing awesome? I didn't even really catch that. I was focused on Donald Glover.
Right, but he pulls the cup away and it's still dripping. So, not very neat and tidy.
But it's fantastic. I want one of those. Just like to, you have people over, you have this thing floating around and it just kind of dispenses drinks. I think it's fantastic. You guys clearly aren't as enthusiastic.
Well, you could get a drone and kind of set that up right now if you want.
Yeah.
Just get a really good pilot because I don't want to be wearing my drink.
So we have a shot now of L337. Grabbing somebody by the face and just kind of pushing them up against the wall.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of this droid yet. I don't know. I'm on the fence.
You're on a chair, actually.
Feels like I'm on a fence. I think I need a more comfortable chair. I don't see droids. I guess for me, if it's not an astromech droid, I'm automatically on guard about it. And it's all C-3PO's fault.
Yeah.
Didn't like CZ3. Now, K2SO.
Should have quenched all those fears.
Just about made up K2 for all right. of it. Yeah. yeah. So yeah. I don't know if I like this one or not. So far, she hasn't really done a whole lot. And I mean, here she kind of comes across as a bodyguard.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought she was a pilot, so that's new.
Well, I mean, I guess she's a droid, so she could do lots of things, I guess.
Right. And then when she's in the cockpit next to Lando, why'd she hit her head?
Did I miss that too?
Yeah, I mean, he says you better buckle up, and the shot widens out to show both, Han and L3 in the two seats. And she like hits her head like, I should have had a V8. Maybe she's looking for a V8. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she hits her own head. I thought you meant she like hit it in the roof like the stormtroopers.
Sorry. No. She hits her head with her own hand.
Okay.
As if to say, I should have had a V8.
No,
maybe not.
Maybe she should have. Hey, did you catch the engines on the Falcon? Let me get the time code here. About 1:16.
Yep.
You've got that. And I was in the Air Force. I should know what it's called.
They ignite in red and then they turn blue.
But there's a flapper thing that.
Yes.
That's no longer on the Falcon. So I think that's another one of those pieces that may have been on the original and is no longer with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could be.
I wish I knew what those were called. I'm sure we'll have some other, maybe if we knew a pilot who.
I flew things with propellers. I didn't.
Yeah, they didn't really have.
Sort of whatever rocket motors the Falcon has.
Yeah. That is interesting, though. It's one of those things where I'm curious about the evolution of the Falcon. I think I've kind of warmed up a little bit to it in the sense that it seems like there is an evolution and it's not just stupid stuff being done for stupid reasons.
Yeah.
Let go of the past, Eric. Kill it if you have to.
This is the future. It comes out in May.
But this is the past of the future.
Well, it's ironic you were using that example about episode 9, because that is the only future tense Star Wars content we're going to get in the theaters for a long time. So, I mean, at least here that argument works.
Yeah.
I'll drop the link and we need to go back to that. Anyway.
Okay. So now at 122, we're back to the mountain scenes in this really cool train. Although I really want to know why the train has to do that corkscrew motion as the track moves. That doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Because it's visually awesome.
It's visually very awesome. Yeah. But why would a train have to do that? We get that.
I like these badass stormtroopers with look like magnetic boots.
Yep. Yeah. So at 1:23,
the oversized boots, because they're like sticking to the
train,
yep. The surface of the train. Yeah.
It looks awesome. So you see this boot come clomping down, with a red light letting you know it's locked on, and there's stormtroopers on this train standing on the top, standing on the side. So it's going to be a very visually cool scene to see this train heist happen.
124, the poor stormtrooper, a squib goes off on his chest. Very tragic.
That is those squibs.
Not in line with OSHA safety standards.
More characters die in movies from squibs than for any other reason for character deaths.
And one more time, I have to question, why am I wearing this armor? It doesn't do anything. It makes it hard for me to see. It makes it hard for me to move around. And when I get shot, I just die.
Well, yeah, that's why when you're getting materials for the military, you don't go with the lowest bid from the contractors. Bidder,
yeah. I don't know. I'd have to, if I was the stormtrooper guy in charge of, you know, personnel, I'd have to be like, be talking to somebody about, hey, can we get some better armor?
Maybe it's not. Nobody's supposed to fire back at the stormtroopers. It's supposed to be for intimidation.
Yeah,
that's all it is, now, and that's why it's so cheap.
Well, we see here at a minute 25, over the top of the train, we see the ship that we saw earlier that was carrying one of these cargo pods from the train.
Yep,
or cars, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, so we see that ship kind of flying over the top of the train as the train is doing this cool corkscrew around the corner, which I think is just freaking awesome.
Cool, but useless. Yeah. I hope they explain why it does that. Because otherwise it's just a waste.
Well, I mean, like if you look at the physics of it, probably for speed, it's kind of like banking into a turn. It's able to maintain speed as it goes around a turn. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my, where's the rat?
So
there's no rat.
At 1:30 to 1:31, that is not an ATST. The leg joints are different. The head's different.
It jumps.
It looks like it's bigger than an ATPT, which is like a single person.
The patrol ones, yeah.
Right.
So this
right.
looks like something in between the two, and there's an additional. It may jump. Did we see it jump?
Well, it landed. It landed. Yeah.
It's got additional joints in the leg, so like it's got a whole another additional leg bone. Like you've got
the ankle bones connected to the. Oh, yeah.
Long guns protruding from the front.
Yeah,
just that thing's one pretty though, badass. Right? Just one long gun.
Well, if you look at the one in the shadow, one side.
No, I think there's two. If you pause at 1:31, you've got one that's obvious, another one that looks like it's more off to the side, and then about halfway down the screen, you've got one kind of shadowed coming through the fog in the mist.
Yeah, in the background.
I see that. Yeah, but if you look at the one that landed, when he kind of comes down and the legs collapse. There's one short gun sticking out of the front of it that doesn't move, and then there's that bigger gun that kind of bows down with the weight of the machine when the impact of that jump.
Yep. Yeah, the gun has some kind of declination to it.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I like me. It looks like also that potentially the bat could be open.
Yeah, it does look like it. Yep.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm all about the Imperial armor. I'm happy about that.
So at 131, 132, we have, and I can't remember the character's name. I'm still learning names.
Woody Harrelson.
No, not Woody Harrelson. The female with the goggles on there firing that.
I'm on 132 and it just changed to Woody. I forget her name cable. And Woody Harrelson's name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, it's something cool. Short, and I think it ends in an S, but I don't remember.
It's got some letters cool, in it. Yeah.
Yeah, it had like a vowel. I think it was only like three letters long or something. Should be easy to remember.
Yes, Tim?
No, three letters long.
No, no, it's vowels, not her name.
Lou.
So then we see
we'll just call Chewie her Lou for now.
And Mala, right? Or is this?
Oh, I thought that was the rat.
Oh.
That's Tim@randomchatter.com.
They don't grow up to be Wookiees. Tell me, they don't grow up to be Wookiees. But a very touching scene between Chewie and, well, maybe it's Mala. It could be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean.
It looks to be what we're assuming is a female Wookiee.
Right.
From the build and stature.
Now, do you know Mala's full name?
No.
Oh.
Molotov Cock. No, I'm sorry.
Being all like on familiar terms and all that. Not very
like me.
Respectful.
Sorry.
Calling her husband a rat.
Mrs. Chewbacca?
I tell you, yes. Mrs. Chewbacca. Mala Baca, that's her.
God bless you.
Mulatto Buck. That's her full name. Mulatto Buck.
And then we see the space octopus.
We do. I want to know the story behind this thing. That's one mystery they can solve for us in the movie.
That's what the rat grows up into, I'm telling you. They don't show the tusks in this shot.
It doesn't get tentacles. It doesn't get tusks.
No, the rat is good friends with the space octopus.
They're symbiotic.
It's like the mouse and the elephant. It's the rat and the space octopus. That's
And I think we have a show title.
No. It's the rat buffalo and the oxpecker, right? Okay, so now we have the line that I've been kind of begrudging about here of the, I've got a good feeling about this. Oh, I have a really good feeling about this, yeah.
Well, sure.
And we have a little bit of space porn here with ships flying and guns going off.
Oh, bow, bow.
You get the whole space battle going on here.
Mm-hmm.
We have the cool new TIE fighter.
Yeah.
I'm also excited about that. I'm looking forward to that Lego. I want that Lego. Give me that Lego action. I want that Lego.
Look at 148. Han's got an Apple Watch.
Hang on. I'm not there yet.
We're still watching the space porn. Come on. Yeah, the Falcon's getting shot at.
There's the back of the cool new ship.
Since when do you have to fly? We get that line. We do find out how old Chewie is. Yeah, that's always good.
That's official now.
And where's
you
the
look great.
Watch?
Yeah, I like
148.
That. 148. Oh, 148. I'm at 143.
I mean, he's got kind of a clunker of a case on it, but.
Yeah. Flying Kira's wearing
one of those new Fitbit, the Shine trackers on a chain around her neck.
Oh, yeah. Here we are, 148. Yeah, that's like a newfangled Apple Watch kind of thing. Yeah.
Where are you seeing this Apple Watch? I don't.
1 minute, 48 seconds. Yeah. Hans left wrist. Oh, he goes to flip the thing on the console. Yeah.
Yep.
A little banged clunky. Up. I hope you got Apple Care on it.
It's kind of thick. I don't know if it's going to fit into my sleeve.
Yeah, well, they're not going to get any smaller. That's the Apple Watch Plus. That's so you can fit more on
it. Okay. Oh, yeah. And at like 149, it looks like someone left their space lamp on or something.
149?
The Falcon flies past this light in the clouds of space. Someone left their space lamp on.
Pretty big light. It's a space lighthouse, Tim.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank God.
And the Falcon jumps, and we get the Falcon flying over that settlement on the sand planet. Again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently the galaxy can never have too many sand planets.
So we have like some cool brass knuckles with a little lightsaber-ish action
look
or something.
Awesome.
That's a badass weapon. I wouldn't mind having one of those. It's probably illegal.
Is that, I don't think we've technically seen a vibroblade in a film yet. Is that maybe a vibroblade?
I don't think vibroblades glow.
They never really were all that specific.
I can see it being, he's got two of them, whatever they are.
Well,
one for each hand.
Does he? Yeah, I guess he does. But they're both double bladed too.
Right. Yeah. And it's pretty devastating. He cuts that little orb thing in half.
He cuts right through a whole fruit. That's a devastating knife when you can cut
through. It's not a fruit. It's
looks
metal.
Like an oversized watermelon.
It's like a decorative thing on a pole or something.
Yeah, well.
That's like ancient Vaz from old Corellia, and I can't believe that he would like have such disdain for something like that.
So we got a little ground battle action going on here. This looks pretty cool. We got somebody kind of firing this, you know, kind of from the hip heavy blaster with a handle up front. That looks pretty devastating.
We've got, so I believe this is supposed to be, is it called the Mud Trooper?
Yeah, I think so.
So the one in front there with the cloak?
Yeah, the in the foreground with the dark helmet with like silver lining around the eyes with the cloak.
Dark Helmet's a different movie that was Mel Brooks.
Schwartz. So like this dude's pretty cool looking. I'm looking forward to, I want this dude in Black Series because that thing's pretty cool.
He's got Kylo's helmet on, though.
Yeah, you know, we didn't talk about the fact that the toys come out this Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Black Series. I want Lando and Kira, and I'm sure I'm not going to be able to find them anywhere.
I'm still working on the last series. Can't find them anywhere.
Like I said in Slack, if my local store, if it's a character that doesn't have Constable in the name, they don't carry it. So...
The good news is, though, is that at least now we don't have to make the extra stop to Toys R Us.
Very
true. The only place that might actually have anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we got Kira throwing an egg at somebody, maybe? No, probably. Yeah.
Well, you missed Chewie picking someone way up in the air over his head with one arm and then slamming him down head first onto the ground. That's true.
Yeah.
On their head.
Yes.
On their head.
That looks like it might hurt just a little bit.
Not even just like dropping the dude on his back, on their head.
Yeah.
Chewbacca has no manners.
Helmet is not going to help them at all.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we see the death of Chewie.
Chewie
around 2 minutes and 3 seconds. Death I thought Chewie dies by having a moon about? Thrown at him.
That was a different Chewie. And why are you so far ahead?
Oh, Kira's throwing an explosive rat.
She throws like a girl, but sorry.
Oh, which means she actually hit her target.
She does. It does. It's not a very elegant throw. I mean,
wait. So by definition, a girl's throw is inelegant.
I was just using the term. Don't get me in trouble.
So now you're using phrase. Women as jokes. Is that what you're saying, Lou?
It's a phrase. Throw like a girl.
Uh-huh.
Lou at randomcheddar.com.
Yes,
Lou
yes,
at randomcheddar.com.
My rat comments now are completely irrelevant.
I know, right? Tim, you just won the episode.
Tim, I just saved you. See that? Wow. We have L3 doing a little celebration there again. Didn't hit herself ahead this time.
So Han is trying to keep Chewie from falling off the train. Han
he's not going to make it. Chewie's heavy.
But Chewie is... Yeah, Han looks to be tethered. He's got some sort of line on him.
Yeah, okay, maybe, yeah.
Still, Chewie's heavy. I mean, they can't show the actual death of Chewie in the trailer. That's why they cut away to black just before he dies.
Maybe. Well, because he's about to run into this, like, really big rock.
Right.
But no, he's wearing goggles.
With his head.
Come on.
Oh, well, he's got goggles on, so his head will be fine. He's got
goggles on. Come on.
Getting that rock.
Yeah, the goggles are totally
going to save 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's tethered, so they're not going to fall, like, off of the train, but...
A Wookiee totally could not rip a tether out of something. Absolutely not. They're not that strong.
And for all we know, that little outcropping of rock is actually just sand.
Or a big piece of styrofoam.
I don't... It's probably a big piece of styrofoam. It's not sand, though.
It could just be a movie prop.
I don't think they're aware that they're in a movie.
Oh.
Then we get the logo. And see, if May
Deadpool
25th.
Were in the movie, he could explain it to him.
He could.
So, you know, there are two lines in this movie, dialogue-wise, that kind of stood out to me. I've got really good feeling about this. Well, okay. Three lines that really stood out to me. That one just for fun. One was when Woody Harrelson's character points out that Han is, quote, in this life for good.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, assume everyone will betray you. And you'll never be disappointed. So I kind of feel like those are setting up some plot moments there that once again goes back to my theory from earlier that this is going to be where we see Han go from more of an optimistic I can do anything type of character to becoming more disillusioned and
not trusting anyone.
Grumpy.
Well, you know, just because he delivered that line, he's going to be the one who betrays Han.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, wonder if it won't be Lando. I mean, here's the thing. We've got a setup for that in Empire Strikes Back, but I kind of feel like it must not have been all that big a deal if Han would then go and you know, hunt him down while they're on the run in Empire. Like, it's, I really hope they don't make it where there's a big betrayal from Lando, and then that's this thing that festers for 10 years, and then Han goes back to him anyway, and the whole thing was, no, it's all good.
Yeah, see, I don't think they could do that. Well, I mean, they certainly could, but they shouldn't, because, I mean, there's got to be more relationship between Han and Lando.
But one thing they do with Star Wars,
over the years before that happens,
they make everything tie together all the time. Everybody has to know everybody. Everything has to reference everything else. See, I totally can see them trying to do that here.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope they don't. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. They certainly could, and they probably will. But to me, it makes more sense that they show the whole, you know, Han getting the Falcon in this movie.
Right.
And that lets them develop a friendship, because now there's this thing between them. And
I
mean, Lando would be pissed off that he's lost his ship. But, you know, and then something else happens later on after this movie that makes Han and Lando kind of at odds with each other.
Listen, if this movie is good, I was going to say, if this movie does well, the movie's going to do well, because, I mean,
yeah.
You know, Star Wars Episode 12, watching paint dry, you know. But if this movie is good, I would be fine with them doing sequels. I don't know yet how I feel about Ehrenreich. I love Donald Glover, and I'd love to see him as Lando. I don't know what the fate of Kira will be in this film, if she's going to continue to be around, if they break up, if she dies. We don't know yet.
So I don't think she's going to be around.
I'm
just guessing.
I've already given my prediction on that too. I agree with you, but I would be okay with them having sequels to this and kind of making this,
I
want to see a lot of them, but like sequel.
You started off by saying you agreed to me that you didn't think we needed this movie.
We don't.
And now you're okay with sequels?
If it's good, if they pull it off and it ends up being good, I would rather see a continuation of this and learn more about.
I still don't think we needed this movie.
We don't need this movie, and I'm not convinced it's going to be good. If I'm wrong,
they did make a sequel, and it's called A New Hope.
A New Hope is not a sequel to this movie. It does not follow on.
A New Hope is a sequel to Rogue One.
Yes.
True.
Oh,
let's get your sequels in prequels right here, Jim. Come on.
True.
Well, I think we exhausted everything about the trailer. Is there anything we missed we need to discuss?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we hit everything we need to.
We do need a rat naming contest.
Ratatouille.
Oh, boy. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have a rat naming contest. Tim, tell them what they're going to win.
You're going to win...
all right, so there you go. That's the prize you're going to win if you name the rat.
Yep.
How are we deciding the winner?
You'll get mentioned on the show.
There you go. All right. Tim will decide the best rat name of all the submissions. You will get mentioned on the show. And we will even plug your social media username or whatever you kids are into these days.
Well, yeah. The rat needs his own Twitter account.
Well, now that you mention that, Lou, anybody who submits a contest entry is going to already have the Twitter account before we can do anything on it.
True.
It'll be Solo Rat. Mm-hmm. At solorat.com. Okay. Now, I didn't prepare anything for fun facts or trivia. I don't know if anybody else did.
I did, and you guys failed. What was Mala's real name?
You can't throw that in now. You already mentioned that.
Well, I know. I felt like she needed to be respected, because Tim called her husband a rat, and then you tried to say that women can't throw things. I know, right? So, yeah, I had to put it in earlier.
That's okay.
Okay. Well, I guess at this point, we're going to bring this episode to a close. We're going to close the blast doors and close up shop for another week here. If anybody has any feedback for us, they can get that to us by email is the best way to get that to us. We stopped doing the carrier pigeon thing, so just email is the best way. And it's echobase@randomchatter.com.
You can also find us online on Twitter, at Echobase Podcast. We'll get you to the show. At Random Chatter, we'll get you to basically the handle for the entire network. You can also hit up the hosts. Eric, where can they find you?
Hiding in a hole. Twitter, at Eric Blight. That's ERIKBLYTHE.
And Lewis?
Just my name is Luseki, LOUSECKI.
And I'm the one apparently with imagination. Mine is at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
Hey, I held a contest for people to come up with like a good Twitch username for me or something like that. And I even offered a cash reward and still couldn't get any entries. So
nothing.
Huh? You are definitely the creative one of the three of us.
You're also really picky with names, though.
I am.
You think?
I know.
I mean, we could just name you Bob the Rat.
I've been called worse
and
today even. Yeah.
We also have our Instagram account up for the Outer Rim Network, which is actually the tag on Instagram, Outer Rim Network, one word. And that's kind of the precursor to us developing our Star Wars sub network of Random Chatter, if you will.
Which of course we will get done once we come up with a name for the discussion show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to the naming thing.
Also, Bob the Rat. it's as good a placeholder as any. You can also find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. There's blogs, there's polls. You can directly stream all of our shows from there and find information on all sorts of things, which Eric will be talking about. Eric, go.
All right. Did you mean you want me to leave or? Oh, with the show notes.
You have the next part.
All right. I never get this part. Okay. We would love it if you would leave reviews for us anywhere you get your podcasts that allow you to leave reviews. Most commonly on iTunes. If you get your podcast through an app on your phone and you don't really go to like a website or something to get them, if you have an iTunes account, we would love it if you would hop in and leave us a review there, even if it's not where you listen to us from. We would also love it if you would tell your friends about us. You're probably talking to somebody about Star Wars, especially now that the trailers come out. You could maybe mention, hey, you know, there's this really awesome podcast. And there's this also this other podcast I listen to called Echo Base. And, you know, let people know about us. That would be a big help. You can also help support the network on Patreon. You guys probably are already familiar with Patreon. It's a way that you can help support us financially, but then we have a way to give something back to you as well. And one of our favorite perks on Patreon is available at the $1 a month level. So it's an entry level perk. And yet I think it's the most important perk we have. And that is access to the entire Discord community. Everybody can get into Discord for free by going to randomchatter.com/Discord. That'll get you into the main lobby channel, the announcements channel. But then we've got a lot of categories and more specific channels, including for Solo. And then there's a separate channel for Solo spoilers. Lots of Star Wars stuff going on in there. Lots of non-Star Wars stuff. It is it's a big perk that's definitely worth the dollar a month. And we value every dollar that comes in. We value all of our patrons. We value all of our audience, too, even people who don't donate. But if you feel like you can donate and you'd like to, head over to randomchatter.com/Patreon and you can find more information there. And then finally, the music you hear in this podcast is The Imperial March by Cell Dweller and The Force Theme by Scandroid.
And that does bring us to the end of another episode. And you know, I have a really good feeling about this, so we're just going to kind of close it right there.
All right.
Night, everybody.
Bob the Rat.